Bibles to the book of the Psalms, to Psalm 70. Psalm 70. We've been working our way through the book of Psalms. Great book for the heart, needful book. And we've been working our way through the Psalms. And I don't know if you remember, but when I was in our introduction, I was explaining to you that the Psalms, they break down into five divisions. Psalms 1 through 41 are the Genesis book, and Psalms 42 through 72 are the Exodus book. They have different themes to them. And the Genesis book, the theme was man. And the Exodus book, the theme is looking at Israel as a nation. And we're coming toward the end of that particular portion here. And Psalms 70 and 71 are two psalms that go together very well. They're psalms that David wrote in his old age. They're psalms of retirement. And they're psalms of remembrance in retirement. As a matter of fact, it's curious, the 70th psalm is a very short psalm. It's to the chief musician, a psalm of David, to bring to remembrance. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul. Let them be turned backward and put to confusion that desire my hurt. Let them be turned back for a reward of their shame that say, aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. And let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help and my deliverer. O Lord, make no tarrying. And he's an old man here, and he's writing a psalm, and it's curious. He actually lifted this portion of that psalm out of the 40th psalm. And I don't know if you remember Psalm 40. It was a messianic psalm, a devotional psalm, a suffering psalm that began with a review of the history of Israel. And then it spent four glorious verses looking at the Redeemer, the Messiah. And then it went into two short verses of repentance, because whenever you look at the Redeemer, you'll repent. I mean, if you're halfway honest with yourself, if you read a Bible and you see the Redeemer and you don't want to repent, well, maybe you need to read it a second time. Maybe you're not seeing yourself properly. And then that psalm, that 40th psalm, ends with verse 13 through 17, which are the 70th psalm. Basically the same thing. You find this in the Psalter every so often. There are certain passages that David will lift and use in a verily, verily fashion. That 40th psalm, that messianic psalm, had a portrait of the restoration, the prophecy of Israel in the tribulation. Now, I know historically David went through some trials and troubles and tribulation, as we all do. But this is really a prophetic psalm pushing forward to the deliverance of Israel itself in the tribulation period. And you can just see there are problems around, and David is just crying and asking for deliverance and just lifting up his eyes to the Lord and just magnifying his love for the salvation of the Lord and magnifying God. Like he says in that fourth verse, let all those that seek thee rejoice. Amen. And be glad in thee. If you seek the Lord, if you really get this book and you open this book and you start looking for the Lord in this book, you start to rejoice, because one thing you learn about the Lord, he's awfully good. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance and relationship. And when I found out how good God was in 1993, I turned to him. Amen. Where else am I going to turn? He has the words of eternal life. He has the gift of eternal life. He has the eternal life. Turn to him. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. There's a source of joy. The joy of salvation and the joy of God himself and the joy of the Holy Spirit. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. There's a good thing to think on. Do you love your salvation? Are you excited about your salvation?
Yes.
Boy, I love my salvation. You know what it's like to stand, some of you guys know, to stand in front of a crowd of people. This, I mean, real close. I mean, I had to stand basically on the walkway as they passed by me. A lot of the drunk kids would give me a shot and, you know, that type of stuff, and hit me on the shoulder. One kid put food in my face, you know, stuff like that. I mean, you got a kind of a hostile crowd that doesn't love what we're doing. And I had this big red shirt on, blazoned across, Jesus Saves. That's all I had on the front, Jesus Saves. You could see it far away. A big red shirt. I can't remember what the letters are, the yellow or white. I really don't know. White, Jesus Saves. And I had my little track, God's Message for You. And I kept holding it up so people could say it. God's got a message for you. And they're coming at me, and they're not really enjoying it. But you know, I love my salvation so much, I could just brag on God the whole while. I love my salvation. I'm saved. I'm not drunk wandering into a football game and wander out more drunk, maybe more angry because my team's going to lose. And what a blessing. I'm saved. And I love my salvation, and that's what keeps me going. Even though personally I may be poor and needy, my God is rich, and He's poured the riches of salvation into me, and I really enjoy that. I hope that's the same for you. First Psalm of Remembrance. Now, David is older in life. Some people think he may have written this just around the time when Absalom rebelled later in his life and tried to steal the throne away. And David continues this 71st Psalm, which is very similar. Again, verse 18, you can see, now also when I am old and gray-headed. So you can see this is a psalm of retirement. And David continues to write here. And he writes this beautiful psalm. Why don't we read it together? And we'll take a look and see what the thoughts of an old man are. An old man who, let's see, 40 years. I know he sat on the throne for 40 years. And I know he was anointed about 13 or so years before he sat on the throne. So we got at least 53 years from the time of his anointing. And probably he was a man after God's heart as a little child. Probably looked out there at the stars when he was a shepherd boy. So this is just a young man that grew into an old man. And his whole life loved God, thought about God. What's the mind of a man that's walked with God a long time? That's why I hope you come tomorrow night or Thursday night to see Jerry Sutek. He started serving God in 1968. That's when he began serving, full-time service in 1968. That's 43 years ago. And he served on a number of continents, and he's moving to another continent, Philippines, to do some work. He's going to tell us about it. And it's good to hear from men that have walked with God. Let's hear the thoughts of a man that's walked with God a long time. Psalm 71, in Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in Thy righteousness, and cause me to escape, and incline Thine ear unto me, and save me. Be Thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for Thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man, for Thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. By Thee have I been holden up from the womb. Thou art He that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of Thee. Just a minute. God is the only real good obstetrician in the world. If a baby comes out alive, it's because God was in it. It's just that simple. And if there's a new birth, the only licensed obstetrician for the new birth is the Lord Jesus Christ. You think you win souls? Someday he'll give a portrait of the operating room theater when you were there thinking you won that soul. And he'll say, now watch what really happened here as he pushed you aside and moved in to do the birth. You do understand that, don't you? Hope that's one thing you've learned. I've learned that. God give it. Right, Brother Larry? God gives the increase. We're just the water boys in the OR, and I'm more than happy to be there. Yes, verse 7. I am a wonder unto many, but Thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with Thy praise and with Thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth, for mine enemies speak against me. And they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, oh, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there's none to deliver him. Oh, God, be not far from me. Oh, my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be discovered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will yet praise Thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to everyone that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who hast done great things? O God, who is like unto thee? Thou, which hast showed me great and sore troubles, shall quicken me again, and shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness, and comfort me on every side. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. You know, you read this psalm of remembrance of this old man. This is an old man who lived a lifetime of knowing God, following God, and maybe, as it says, I can't remember if it's in the book of Daniel, done exploits for God. I mean, he served God. You can go all the way back and you think when the work that he did when he delivered the lambs out of the mouth of the lion and the bear. When he finally stood up for the armies of Israel and took on Goliath when he was young. When he went in and out and had more wisdom than all of Saul's men. And he won battles. And even when he was on the lam and he defended Keilah and the battles at Ziklag. And then when he rose to the office at Hebron and then moved to Jerusalem. And all the life of service that this man gave, and the thought of, I want to build a temple for God, and he was found, no, you can't build a temple, but you can be involved in the preparation of the building of the temple, and the dedication, and the raising of a child that will build it, and his prayer life, and all of that. And in this particular psalm, if you read through, a man of exploits doesn't talk about himself. He says, let God be magnified. Let's magnify God. Let's talk about God. Let's brag on God. Let's look at God. David? The mighty David, the man who is written of in the Bible? None of our names are in the Bible. None of these people, these biographies we read about these men in the 17, 18, 19, 100, they're not in the Bible. This man's in the Bible. Not only old, he's in the New Testament. Jesus brags on him and God says he's a man after my heart. And yet, when he has an opportunity to open his mouth, he says, I love thy salvation, let God be magnified. He makes 24 direct, personal references to God in this psalm. He calls him the Lord. He calls him God. He calls him the Lord God. He calls him the Holy One of Israel. And then he makes a number of majestic references to God through the personal pronouns that are God's and God's alone. Thee, thou, thy, and thine. Those wonderful pronouns that are God's pronouns that you don't hear in the filthy language of the average American. Because we have a filthy, polluted form of English nowadays. But God's English has a separate set of pronouns. Thou Most High, my love unto thee, Amen. O Holy One of Israel, thy righteousness, thy salvation, all these direct personal references to God, either by his name or by those majestic pronouns. And then David even makes a number of references to God's attributes and his provision, and yet he makes less references to that than he does to the Lord personally. Isn't that interesting? He has more to say about God than he does about the attributes of God. Isn't that interesting? Do you? Now we're going to talk, and I want to show you some of these attributes that he's going to speak of, but there are more personal references to David's God than to the attributes of God. This is a heart that's really in line with Almighty God. Are you just interested in the attributes of God, or are you interested in God Himself and who He is? Or do you just want to know what He can do for you and what you can get out of Him? And maybe if you play this game just right, with the proper movements here and the right amount of just the right prayer with the right words here and just the right amount of giving Him the plate, maybe you can get something out of Him. Or are you just in love with Him? This is a psalm of remembrance in retirement of a man that was after God's heart. Let's take a look at some of the attributes he'll talk about. Verse 8. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. He's going to talk about the praise of God, about how God inhabits the praises of His people, about how you have even the breath to lift up voice in song unto God. It's because God's inhabited you with life. That's the truth. You can't breathe without permission from God. You can't praise without the power of God. It's thy praise and thy honor. And David understands that blessed attribute, the fact that he was able to joy and sing and take the harp and the psaltery and dance around the ark. All those praises were inhabited by the power of the Spirit of God Himself. That's His flowing Spirit in you. You ever get, do you feel it? Even spiritually, do you feel it? Okay, you might not feel it physically, but are you aware? Do you ever let that joy bubble through you to the point where He's inhabiting the praise and you're just aware of the presence of that God in your life? You say, no, Brother Mike. Well, look, you ought to work on it a little bit. You ought to spend a little bit more time with the Lord. In prayer and in reading. Do it together. Get some things out and just allow God to begin to work. Tell you another way you can do it. Get out there and lift up the praises of God to strangers and tell them how good He is. Get out there and witness about that great God. And you'll start to feel the inhabitation of praise, God's praise, thy praise working through you. That's the Holy Spirit. You know what He wants to do more than anything in the whole world? Talk to lost people. He wants to tell lost people about Jesus Christ. He doesn't like them wandering in darkness. He wants the light to break upon their soul. And the only way He can do it is through words that are spoken. My words are spirit, they are life. And those praises must break and they must come from lips. Lift up voice. Rejoice. Let God's praise inhabit you. David was excited about that attribute. Look at verse 15. He goes on, he says, my mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and, watch, thy salvation all the day. Here's an attribute of God, the salvation power of God. God looking down on a planet full of reprobates that have turned from Him, that want to go their own way, that want the garden without Him, that want the millennium without Him, that want clean air and clean water and food and a place to do what they want without Him. Every politician is attempting to set up the kingdom without the King. That's what they're all debating about and promising you their hope and their change and a better life. We're going to promise you the kingdom without the King. We want this world set up according to our ways, according to our will. And God looks at this, and you know what He probably ought to do is what He did back in Genesis 6, just flood the thing out. And instead, He says, I'm going to save those sinners. I'm going to do a work of salvation unto people who are unthankful and unholy. I'm going to do that work. While they're asleep, they're not even paying attention, while they're out in their sin, I'm going to design the plan. I'm going to work the work. I'm going to send the Son. I'm going to let Him weep in a garden. I'm going to let Him die on a cross, and I'm going to raise Him up the third day. And I'm going to send forth the Word, and I'm going to do the work of salvation. Whose work is salvation? God's. He just says there, my mouth shall show forth thy salvation. Yes. Oh, David, Old Testament, David, you don't know your theology. All Old Testament saints are saved by faith plus works. You just haven't read the right books, David. And here, this psalm of remember, we can only bring David back to some of our Bible institutes. I wonder what he'd have to say to some of our teachers today. You fools, slow of heart and unbelieving. Well, David, nobody looked forward to the cross. I wasn't looking forward to it either. I was looking forward to the Christ.
Amen.
I wrote those messianic psalms about the Christ.
Amen.
I was writing about the Messiah. I was looking for the anointed one. I knew he'd take care of everything when he got here. I knew I was a mess, personally. I knew left to my own devices, I'd finish up like Psalm 119, verse 176. I'd start going astray again. But I knew that Messiah. I trusted that Messiah. He's going to work everything out, even after I die. I'll take that faith on credit. I'm trusting him ahead of time. What about you, Brother Mike? I'm trusting him after the fact. That doesn't take a lot of faith, I know, but all I got is a mustard seed, David, but I'm happy to have that. Yeah, thy salvation. Verse 18, he says, now, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength. We've seen God's praise. We've seen thine honor. We've seen thine salvation. Now we see thy strength. The strength of Almighty God. David, you're a mighty man. You're a warrior. I remember when they were giving the counsel back and forth, Ahithophel and Hushai, they were talking, you're a man as a bear robbed of her whelps and you're going to get out there and fight. Nobody wants to take you on one-on-one in the cage, David. Says, are you kidding me? My strength? You want to talk about strong? You want to talk about someone that meted out the stars in his hands? You want to talk about someone that measured the heavens? That weighs the earth and the sands in the palm of his hand? You want to talk about strength? So the only thing I want to brag on is God's strength. Matter of fact, that strength is what brought forth that salvation. So I just want to talk about God. I'm an old man. I want to talk about unimportant things in my life. I forgot all that stuff I did. Not important anyways. I want to talk about God. Long after I'm gone, that God's still going to be leading people to salvation. That God's still going to be saving souls. That God's still going to be doing mighty works down here. In sinners. One day this sinner is going to come along from the tribe of Benjamin. He's going to be the chief of sinners. And God's going to do a mighty work in him on the road to Damascus. And that's the strength I want to talk about. I don't have anything good to say about me, but I got a lot to say about my God as I'm getting old here. I'm losing memory. I'm getting Alzheimer's about a lot of things, but not about my God. You know, we wonder sometimes when these saints get Alzheimer's and they can't communicate with us anymore. I got a feeling there's some real communication going on in the inside. God's Spirit deep calling on to deep. Just reminding the salvation of the soul. That's the goodness. Do you believe that? I believe that. I believe that. They may not be able to communicate with us. That may be one of the greatest blessings. We may find out when they get to glory. That was the best 2 years of my life. I couldn't talk to any of you, but boy, was I in prayer. It was great. How God can turn things inside out and turn our world upside down. I want to talk about thy strength. Verse 18. I want to talk about thy strength to this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. That's wonderful. That's what we're out there doing. We're bragging on God. Not on the pastor. Not on the evangelist. Not on the church. It's kind of a nice church. The carpet's ripped over there and it's a little bunched right there. It's not the greatest. I mean, it's, you know, we're bragging on God. That's what the good news is. When I preach at the university, I tell them, I'm here today to preach to you the gospel. Gospel means good news. Now listen, Paul says, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's about a man. It's not about a church. It's not about a religion. It's not even about you. It's about God's Son. That's why I'm here to preach today. Let me tell you about the man, Christ Jesus, and what He did. And I go out, how can you, why you just go all day doing that? I want to talk about His power. His saving power. You know, someone was telling me about a book. I got to find this book. They tell me it's out of print and hard to get a hold of. It's called The Cross and the Swastika. Has anyone heard of that book? Not the cross and the switchblade, the cross and the swastika. Some of those men that put people in the concentration camps, those Germans that killed the Jews, Albert Speer. There was a chaplain, a born-again chaplain, that worked on them day in and day out and day in and day out during the Nuremberg trials. And a number of them got born again and saved before they were executed. Many rejected, but a number received salvation. Now, you just better think about that. You know what those men did. And they would seem beyond salvation. I mean, you're talking about lying, adultery, rape, murder, killing women, children, babies, adults, torture. The things that they did, premeditated. Talk about power, that God could save such as that. Amen. I said, I got to get this book and read this. I want to hear about this. The natural mind recoils at something like that. But you know what? Someone who knows God, I rejoice that I have a God so powerful he can reach all the way down in that gutter and pull a sinner out. If God had time with those 19 hijackers, had they not killed themselves in suicide, I'll bet God could have saved some of them. That's how much power he has. That's some power I want to brag on. Verse 22, he says, I will also praise thee with my psaltery, even thy truth. It's the attribute of God's truth. It's God's truth. Truth is I preached to them at the university. I said, kids, truth is eternal. 2 + 2 = 4. From the time of the Babylonians, the Egyptians, and the Chaldees to today, it'll always be 4. Yeah. Truth is spiritual. And especially when it comes to truth about God. And it's knowable because God has revealed it. Like I told those last three yesterday, you saw me witness to at the university on the way back to the parking lot. And they were trying to go on philosophy and science. I said, yes, there's science. And it's a large body of knowledge that's empirical. And yes, there's philosophy. And there's a large body of knowledge that's rational. But there's a revelation knowledge that is truth that only comes from God. And God will not allow himself to be discovered through science or philosophy. You must receive the revelation of God. I didn't know that. And all three of them took tracts. They initially said no, but when they heard that, they took the tracts. They said, we'll read these. I said, God will reveal himself. It's God's truth. It's thy truth. King James didn't write this Bible. The 54 men that he commissioned didn't write this Bible. God wrote this Bible. This is God's truth. Look at that verse again. Look at that 22nd verse. By the way, 22nd, curious, he put it right there. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And here's David, a good Jewish boy. I will also praise thee, capital W-O-R-D, with the psaltery, even thy truth, little W-O-R-D. So hard to separate the word with a capital W from the word with a little W. One is Jesus, one is the Bible, but Jesus spake the Bible into existence. And so here this old man, he just begins a litany of the attributes of the praise and the honor and the salvation and the strength and the power and the truth of his God. Is that your God? Do you love those attributes of your God? Do you like to look at the mirror and look at your spiritual muscles, or do you like to look at this book and see his spiritual muscles? And what a blessing. Folks, you don't have to be strong. You just have to get behind the one that is strong and go out there. The Lord is strong and mighty in battle. He's a man of war. The battles are his. You just stand behind him and let him loose. He can take care of himself. Brag on him. Let his spirit have some free course and be glorified and move in the midst of sinners. It'll reach down in his power and grab him. Because notice the attributes led to provision. provision. I mean, God has the attributes. It's His praise. It's His honor. It's His salvation. It's His strength. It's His power. It's His truth. But it brings provision for you and me. Verse 23, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul, which thou hast redeemed. Redemption is a provision that God has made. David was redeemed, not by corruptible things like silver and gold, but by the precious blood of the Lamb that he could see through prophecy in Psalm 22, that Isaiah saw in the prophecy of Isaiah 53. The redemption is a provision made by God. He's bought back your soul. And it cost him something. It cost him the blood of his son. And that's provision for you. And so the power of his salvation, his attribute, was brought forth a provision for you and for me. Verse 3, look at this. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me. His truth contains a commandment. And in that commandment is a provision for redemption. And it's in the book. And I can show anybody, look, God's done the work. You don't have to strive anymore. You don't have to work at it anymore. You don't have to labor anymore. You've been laboring. You're heavy laden with religion. You're bearing around all these do's and don'ts, and just drop it. The truth to save is a commandment of God. He made a commandment from the foundation of the world in the foreknowledge and determinate counsel of God, the Father, and the Son. We determined we would have a method of salvation. And it's laid out there. And David says, that was a provision for me. That commandment and that redemption is something I took advantage of. Sinner, have you? Have you trusted the commandment of God's truth that salvation is available? And have you taken opportunity to appropriate the redemptive price that's been paid? Are you going to continue to try and pay it yourself? You know, if you get in trouble with the IRS, and if they put you in jail, you got no idea how much trouble you're in. Because they're a strange breed. They take what you owe. And every day you're in jail, they add to what you owe. They compound it with penalty and interest. And when you get out, if you didn't have enough to pay it before you got in, you'd never be able to pay it when you get out. Just adding and adding and adding and adding. It's like that with sin. You can labor your whole life. You can never pay off the sins you committed. Except paying them with the death of your soul. And why will you die? When God's truth is given a commandment that the redemption would be paid, God's strength and God's power, verse 3, has done this for you. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Verse 7, I am a wonder to many, but thou art my strong refuge. That redemption through the strength of God is a strong, continual habitation. What does that mean? It's eternal. Your redemption, your salvation is forever. It's continual. You can't lose it. You can't walk out from under it. If you're saved, you're saved. I got saved in 1993. You know what? I'm saved today. You know what? I'll be tomorrow saved. You know what will happen 10 more years? I'll still be saved. 100 years from now, I'll still be saved. A couple of millennia from now, I'll still be saved. Why? Because I have a continual strong habitation. I have a strong refuge in the salvation of God. That's some provision, folks. My house has fallen apart, but my spiritual house is going to last forever. That's some provision. David, this old man, boy, he remembers what's important, doesn't he? He remembers the attributes of God. He remembers the provisions of God. He talks about the benefits of his God. Let's look at some of the benefits he has. Verse 5, thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. I mean, trust. I mean, I have something I can trust in. That no matter what the circumstances are around me, I know it will not change because he said, I am the Lord, I change not. It's better to trust in the Lord than in men or princes or institutions that men and princes have concocted and put together. Hey, are you trusting in your Social Security, American? You trust it? They put it together in the 30s. I wonder where it's going to be in about another 20 years when the 2030s roll around. You trusting in that? That salvation, something you can trust in forever. That God, you can trust in that forever. That trust is aligned to the beautiful faith. Knowing that I have a trust like that, my faith is strengthened. That's a benefit that I have. We saw the benefit of salvation. Look at verse 12. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Another benefit I have is a very present help in trouble. He's only a prayer away. Isn't that amazing? He's a prayer away. How long did it take to pray? A moment of time, a blink of an eye, just like the trumpet sound. It's just that quick. These spiritual things are, it's like stepping out of time. Just amazing. And God is a moment away in prayer. Present help. Say, it may not change my circumstance. It'll change you in that circumstance. Circumstances are going to swirl around you, but it isn't nice to have a present help that gives you a strong, continual habitation, that when the rain is beating and the floods are coming around you, that you're standing strong in your salvation, comfortable in your spirit and your soul. I like help like that. Of course, he also talked about in verse 5, and we saw it before in verse 5 and 14, Thou art my hope. Not only right now, but even as I look down the corridors of time to the future, no matter what happens tomorrow, the day after tomorrow, next month, or next year, my hope will be present and with me. He speaks about it as a, verse 14, I will hope continually. Oh, I like that. Folks, there's got to be more smiles. You've got to be happy about your salvation. This is David. This is an old man. He's trying to encourage us. We are the generation to come for whom he wrote this psalm. He's looked at praise, honor, salvation, strength, power. Six attributes we studied that brought forth the provision of his redemption and his salvation and his hope and his help. All those benefits that accrue because we have a great God. But if there's one thing, the greatest of all, that David focuses on in this particular psalm, five times he hits on it. He opens with it in verse 2, and he closes with it in verse 24, and he strikes it again and again and again, like the hammer hitting the anvil, so that we will not miss it. We're going to miss it and forget it, but hopefully we will not miss it and forget it in the next 40 seconds, is look at, deliver me in thy righteousness. So I'm not sure I got that. Verse 15, my mouth shall show forth thy righteousness. Verse 16, I'll go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even thine only. I'm not sure I got it. Verse 19, thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who has done great things, O God? Who is like unto thee? I'm still not sure I got it. Let's close the psalm with verse 24. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. Now listen to me. I was an agnostic, atheist, confused man with high degrees. I have a raging temperature, a fever, couldn't think straight. And went to school, and I've heard, and I have books, well, I've thrown most of them away, of the glory of man and the discoveries of doctors through the centuries and what they've done to help mankind. And I could give you the names and tell you what they did. And then one day at a Bible study in 1993, someone opened the Gospel of John and I saw another man whom never a man spake like that man, never a man lived like that man, never a man died like that man. Never a man loved like that man. Never a man came forth out of the grave like that man. And I said, wow. I need that Savior. And that mediator, the man Christ Jesus, brought me to God and began a relationship. And 3 years later, I was hearing about the glorious saved men and the righteousness of the great super saints. And David says, you know, I'm an old man, and I used to hear that too. They used to talk about Abraham and Moses and Jacob, that scoundrel, that scallywag, and some of the great priests. But you know, Lord, I'm wrapping this thing up here. I'm looking at that thing, and I just want to say 5 times, Lord, it's thy righteousness. My mouth wants to show forth thy righteousness. My tongue wants to talk of thy righteousness all day long. I'm sick of the glory of men, saved or lost. David says, you know, when I think of that righteousness, it brings a provision and a benefit to me that I'll never find anywhere else. It's found for me in verse 14, I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. I want to stop talking about Moses. I don't want to be like a Pharisee. I want to stop talking about Father Abraham. Lord, I'm getting old. I just want to talk about thee. I just want to meditate on thee. I just want the generation to know about thee. I want a testimony of praise. That's what I want, Lord. Verse 15, my mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day. For I know not the numbers thereof. I don't know how much longer you're going to leave me alive that I can't open my mouth and say something about you, Lord. And I don't want to go down bragging on some Christian and have my breath taken out of me, bragging about some other Christian and praise the Lord for some Christian. No, I want my breath taken from me on the day when I was bragging on you. That's the day I want to go home. And since maybe today, I better talk about you today. And since maybe I'll die tomorrow, I think I'll talk about you tomorrow. And maybe it'll be the next day, I'll talk about you the next day. Because I don't know when you can take me home, but the day you take me home, I hope the last thing out of my mouth is, Jesus Christ is the greatest man that ever lived. That's what I'd like to do. I'd like a testimony of praise about God, the Savior. Verse 16, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even thine only. I want a testimony of praise. Let me close my praise. Verse 22, I will praise thee with the psaltery. I want to praise God. I want to praise thee in song. Put a song in my heart to manifest the joy, stir up the gift inside me, and I just want to sing unto thee. Unto thee do I sing, Lord. Not my country tis of thee, but unto thee. Verse 23, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee and my soul which thou hast redeemed. I want to not only sing, I want to sing with spirit. I want you to stir me up. When that song service begins, I just can't sit down. I have to stand up. I just have to lift up that hymn book. I just have to put a smile on my face. It comes naturally when you're singing about your Savior. Unless you're singing one of those songs about repentance. But when you're just singing about how good God is. Verse 24, and my tongue shall also talk of thy righteousness all the day. They're confounded. They're confounded because they're too high-minded. I'm a simple person. I want to sing with the spirit and simplicity about thee all day long. I'm old. I'm gray-headed. I've done a lot of things in my life. Pocket change. But that God that met me on the backside of the desert when I was taking care of sheep and revealed Himself in the stars to me, and I wrote that 19th Psalm. That God that anointed me, that God that delivered me, that God that loved me, that God that cared for me, that God that has praise and honor and salvation and strength and power and truth and whom I can trust and hope. That's who I want to talk about. How about you? You know, if we loved God and we talked about God, maybe some people would be attracted to God. To the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my psalm of remembrance in retirement. How about ours? Father, thank you for showing us thou art worthy of all glory and honor and blessing and praise. All praise to the Lamb who was slain. Thank you for being so kind to each one of us here. In love having found us and revealing the truth, blowing the gentle wind of thy Spirit, turning us to repentance. Help us, Lord, to climb the steps of praise and salvation and to glorify and magnify. May our mouths show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Before we go out,